The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. We are, as I say, the alpha male of radio, but we are the king of radio, and we're going to get bigger and bigger, and that's all I care about. And here's the one of the biggest things. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download our two free 30-day ebooks. Well, one is 30-day, the other you can keep permanently. One's going to make you think. The other one's going to make you take action. Strength times power equals success is definitely a winner. That will get your head on straight. And the 30-day program will teach you how to get started training. And it does have power rack training in it, which I love to death. That and stones, man. You can't beat it. So go out there. Take a peek at them. They're not going to be up much longer on either site, because our good friend Chris, who's doing a lot of stuff here, he sees them as all right, but we don't need them there. We're into bigger things right now, and I hope at some point next week I'm going to have a massive announcement about this company, and it should be all good. So we'll keep rolling like that. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend and brother James Fuller on here today, and I was telling James we've had to kind of cool out on shows a little bit. I've got a chance to do more of the single solo show, which I've had a ton of requests for over the last 6 months, and the reason why I'm doing them is just I can't schedule a lot of stuff right now. And just out of a whim this afternoon, I had caught up with a lot of stuff. James was occupied. He got back to me after I got done with dinner. I came up here, saw that he had missed me. I contacted him. We had a little technical blowout, but we're here and we're ready to go. So go out and just look at all the shows I've done with James. Incredible amount of data. I wish you could have been a fly on the wall to listen to what we were talking about. There's becoming a network here that is going to be damn dangerous, let me tell you. And I'll give you one hint. You've seen a lot of the video. Dennis is 271. We'll have him down to 200 pounds by June, and I'm going to train him in a way you've never seen before. And if you've seen it, you've seen bits and pieces of it. Now you're going to get to see the whole thing. James, we are going to get him down here, especially in the cold weather. We're going to do some stuff together. I'm sure Dennis will be here. I want him to meet James. Hopefully, my brother-in-law, too, I want, because I've talked about this guy to enough of the family and my friends. So we want to get him down here, and we will. It's just been right now. He's been competing. There's been a lot of stuff going on here, man, and it's like, whoa. But we will get that done, too. Before I bring James in, I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman, and I want to read something, too, momentarily. James is an all-around lifter, a master of the bent press, and he's a grip extraordinaire, but he's a hell of a teacher. I'll say this, man, the guy is dependable as the sun coming up and setting. That's what we're looking here for, and I do feel he's family, and he's a loyal, and he's a gentleman. I'm pretty good with character with people. This is the type of people that are going to be in M&M and FBC till the day we sign off, or the day they feel they don't want to do it anymore. But, you know, I'll be a little egocentric here. Why the hell would you want to leave, all right? But that's another time. We've been reading stuff all over the place, and I'm going to read just one line out of Stones and Strength. That's our good friend Steve Jeck and the late, great Peter Martin. And Steve and I had a big show about a month ago, and we talked about his excerpt of The Sons of Sisyphus, and I read the whole story a few shows back on my own. But we're going to read the one line I think that sums up everything. It says, "The struggle itself toward the heights is enough to fill a man's heart." Steve Jeck. Now, that is on page 107, but The Sons of Sisyphus is chapter 33. 106 and 107. And this is going to lead into something that I can't wait to get into. I'm going to bring the shirt back out, but we had one probably about 3 years ago, and it had all the FPC stuff on it, but the main cog of the shirt was strong, stronger, and strongest. James, welcome back, brother. Let's get everybody caught up because of obviously this past weekend. And then, you know, we're going to just fire this show up and we'll see what we come up with. So take it away, please.
Yeah, I had a great weekend. Competed in Somerville, Massachusetts at the first event of the Risto Olympia Sports Cup. It's a series of weightlifting events that Risto Sports in Elliott, Maine is running. You're going to earn points at each event, and it will culminate at the Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic with the final show there. It's got categories for masters, open, men and women, so on and so forth. I had a great time, PR'd on my snatch and on my clean and jerk. At 45 years old, lifting more than I ever have, and I feel better today than I did the day before the meet, so I must have done something right at the meet.
Hey, put it this way, we were talking about all that stuff. How many people can say at 45 they feel better than they ever have?
Not enough. Not enough people are saying that, and that's what we got to change.
We are going to change that. You know what we're up to, and you're part of it. And, you know, I've been telling everybody a lot of stuff, and I'm going to explain what's happened with everything in the last 5 months. When you hear some of this, your jaw is going to drop, and this is why we've been having to struggle with things and a lot of other stuff. But the true test of a winner is to always take it and stomp it. And that's all we do here. And anybody that knows me and talks to me knows that I'm no bullshit with anything. And no one would be on here if they didn't believe that in themselves and myself. So this is where it leads into now. Strong, stronger, and strongest. Now, I came up with that concept for one reason. Well, for multiple reasons, because you're using three words. But I'm into this rebuild, this build and rebuild phase right now. And strong to me is someone that maybe he's done a little bit of weightlifting, but basically, you know, you meet those individuals that are just strong, period. Are they what levels we're at? No, but you're going to grow to that if you want to say it. And then stronger, obviously now we've entered into the strength realm. And one thing I told James that I say all the time now is always go back to your strength. No matter what's wrong with you, no matter how you're feeling. Now, what does that mean? Envision how you got strong, what you think of strength. How did you achieve this stuff? Who did you listen to? Who did you train with? And that's what it means. Go back to your strength. You know, we so always say here, start from the basics again. Well, you don't think the word strength is basic too? Exercise is fine, but you have a basic strength, basic, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, in your outer appearance, all that. And we're going to get into that. And then, of course, strongest, that's whatever you want to do and how you see the strongest you can be, whether you want to compete, whether you just want to be the biggest guy walking around your neighborhood, whether you want to be that guy that when a 12-year-old kid comes up to you and says, how'd you get so big? You'll sit there with them and you'll explain to them what you did and how they can do it and try to pique their interest and get them involved because we all know what we want to do. So, James, take it away. You know, come up with whatever you feel is pertinent to that. You know, I don't care. We're going to be all over the map, I'm sure, with this. But just give everybody a little feeling of strong, stronger, and strongest to you.
Strong is when you begin. Yep. Because you know you're not strong. So you know you're weak. So you want to fix it. So you decide you want to be strong. And that's the beginning stages. That's like realizing, all right, forget this crawling around stuff. I want to walk. I want to run. I want to jump.
Yep.
So you work on it for a while, and you get to be strong. And that's a big part of the career. That's a big part of your training life. And to me, strongest is when you realize when your strength is your weakness and when your weakness is your strength.
Yep.
You know, you start realizing certain things that you kind of had to follow a structured program for quite a few years.
Yep.
Then you get to this point of understanding. This is when you're in your strongest phase. Not only are you possibly the strongest person on a lift or in the world or in the gym or wherever you're strongest, but it's a mental thing. It's when you... Nobody has to tell you what you need to go in and do today. Or no one had to tell me yesterday when I was done my meet. The guy that I went down with, and he also competed, was just he was more excited about qualifying that I qualified for the Masters World Championships in New Zealand than I was.
Yeah.
Because I'm already thinking about, okay, I need to work on my hang cleans, I need to work on some hang snatches, I need to keep my elbows up on the jerk. So I'm not celebrating, I'm already planning out my next training.
Exactly. Yep.
But that when you get to that strongest level, it's a great time. And everyone tries to rush it, because the stronger is a great place to be at. But it's where you're having your structure, it's where you're doing a lot of learning, a lot of making mistakes. And when you get to your final level, your strongest level, you should be making very few mistakes, because you should be knowing better about making those mistakes.
Yep.
You shouldn't be doing the dumb, oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that, and now I dinged my elbow and I'm going to be out for 6 weeks.
Yep.
You should be past that point. You know, you should really know exactly what you need to do. You should be very, it's also the point of your career where you should be honest with yourself about what you really need. You shouldn't be doing the stupid, well, I can't get 315 off my chest, but I'm going to work 375 on a three-board press.
Yep.
Well, why? You know you suck at getting the bar off your chest. That's what you should be working.
Yep.
What are you doing a three-board press for? So now all that foolishness should be out of your way. You should be like, someone who doesn't know lifting should be able to come in, watch you lift, and go, I don't know much, but I know this guy knows what he's doing.
Yep. Yep.
And that's where you're at the strongest part of your career. You're mentally strong. It's like your mental is caught up with your body's abilities, because I think we lift so well within our means because we just don't have the faith and the experience in what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I think you get going, and the more workouts you do, the more weight you lift, the more you come back maybe from an injury or just from a meet that didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, you get that mental toughness, and you realize, all right, this is all hard work. You want to know the secret, boys and girls? Hard work. It's always going to be hard work. It's never going to be easy. And then, you know, you get to this stage where it's like you know what needs to be done. You don't have to not do a stretching program, but it becomes more and more of an outline.
Yeah.
And you realize when it's okay to deviate, when it's not okay to deviate. And you know when you need to take care of business on your weaknesses. You just really stop fooling yourself with the three board presses, and you start doing dumbbell presses because they give you more range of motion and they make you suck.
Yep.
But because they make you suck, they're exposing your weakness.
Yep.
When it comes time to bench off the chest again with a bar, it's going to feel easy because you've been using dumbbells instead for a while.
Yep.
And so to me, that's what strong, stronger, and strongest is. Strong is when you're realizing I'm not.
Yep.
So it's time to start seeking it. You spend probably most of your training career trying to be stronger. Maybe most. If not, it's at least equal to your strongest part of your career of knowing, all right, I've put the work in. I've stopped being foolish. I've stopped lying to myself. And I can actually catch up my body to my brain. Now I've got that mental toughness that I can push and push and push. Because how many times have you and I trained someone who's new at lifting, and their body's ready, but the mind isn't.
Exactly.
You know, and basically we're just training them to get, basically it's a therapy session, really.
It is.
We're just training them to be mentally stronger, to have more confidence in their abilities and in their bodies.
Well, you know what I find too, when we say, you know, strong, stronger, strongest, you know, the strong end is going to always be, I think with any trainer especially, that is going to be the ultimate test for the trainer. And I'm going to just explain that real simply. You know, you meet people, obviously, that might want to employ you to train them. Obviously, some of us do it for free. We all have at one point. But if we have to make a living at it, we have to charge. And I think, I never used to think this, but I'm convinced of this, that when you charge somebody, they're more apt to produce and they're more apt to show up. Because whatever it is about, unless they really understand what we're doing here, it seems when you do stuff for free for people, they just never measure up. And I never got that, because none of the people I ever trained with ever charged me, even the older guys. They used to beat me up and stuff for being a wise guy, but, you know, they were always I'll backtrack that slightly. You and I have been around long enough to know pretty much, unless they're really good at faking, who's going to be good and who's going to try to pull the wool over your eyes. But getting back to the strong thing, you know, this is when you are going to try to start coming into your own a little bit. You're going to try to make that identity now for yourself. And that's very important because, you know, we talk about the mind's finally developed and the body now can go hog wild when you're at your strongest point. But strong calculates to confidence. And if you don't have the confidence, you're never getting the strongest. You're not even going to get to stronger, believe me. What will happen to you is you'll get the dreaded, oh, my lower back's bad. I can't, oh, my knee's bad from squatting. Or I can't bench or anything anymore because now my shoulders are rotted out. Well, we all know that's a load of crap. But I think with any trainee or anybody starting out, the first thing is you got to have some success. And that's one thing I always stressed with anybody I've trained is this, and I'll say it to the day I die, whether we're on the air or not, is small steps equal to big goals. Now, we can equate it like this, strong to strongest, because that would be the epitome of where we are. Once you can calculate that and get someone going and get them confident, then we're going to start moving them into stronger. And when we talk stronger, we're going to build on our base more, meaning squat, deadlift, any form of press I like overhead, I'll go with that. But, you know, if the bench is done properly without the 10-foot arch and 10 tons of gear on you, it's a very beneficial movement. But I still like overhead no matter what. I like the idea of clean it as far as you can. And then if you want to do it, which there's no shame in it, you have yourself having a good set of racks on a rack or in a good set of squat stands, get under that son of a bitch and push press it for your life, whatever it's going to be. Then obviously once we keep building on that, we can choose maybe what we want to start doing. Now, you've seen James. He is a monster with grip work. There's no doubt about it. But, I mean, this guy's right across the board. I don't consider him a specialist. I just consider him a goddamn specialist in probably everything, man. It's not like one movement because you've seen enough film of this guy where he's not just picking up a Thomas Inch, which if he just did that one time in his entire career, I'd still admire him because, you know, that is a vicious lift. But the guy can go across the board, and that's what I mean when we're talking stronger. Suddenly, all right, maybe you decide you want to lift stones or you want to do strictly power rack training or you want to do side bends or whatever it is. That is always going to be probably one of your prime movers, but you add everything else into it and you got the makings of now strongest. However you want to define that, I went over that in the beginning. James hit that a lot, but I'm going to say it one more time. At the strongest level, maybe we want to compete. You know, you just saw he just did a meet this weekend. Maybe, like I said, you want to be the guy that's walking around the neighborhood that maybe some are going to fear you, many are going to admire you. You're going to become a role model for people, everybody. Role model! Do you remember what that was? It's not a bunch of assholes out there, you know, with their pants half down on the football field or whatever, and every other word is F, okay? Now, that's not role models, all right? Now, I'm not saying that people don't swear. I just did. But what I'm saying is they're impassioned and they care about others rather than just themselves. Now, should you always have the highest regard for yourself? Absolutely. Should you have the confidence of the biggest, I don't know, how about the confidence of King Kong or the Hulk? Absolutely. All right? But there's a difference. See, when you genuinely have that, you don't need to put on an act. You don't have to use all kinds of four-letter this, four-letter that. You don't have to treat others like they're garbage, all right? Because you know inside what you've done and what you've created, you can treat others with the same regard you built yourself with. So I consider that strongest more than anything because I've met many strong people, and I'll tell you what, as individuals, as human beings, they're horrible. I'm not saying they're out to hurt anybody, but they just don't get it. And when you don't get it, what you do to me, unless it's just you driving it with your ego, it's pretty much useless, man. You know, why do you build all this strength, muscle, tissue, you know, tendons, ligaments, bones, all that stuff? Why do you do that? Well, obviously, your health comes first, correct. But why do you really do that? Well, most of us just love the ability to go out and manhandle things. we get beat up a lot from it. We get injured from it. But we know there's always another day. And that's what I think a lot of us live for. I do. I just love the idea that something is always going to test me. It could be light. It could be medium. It could be as heavy as a car or a crane coming down on you. But it's that call inside to do that. React. Take action. Take all that energy and explode it through those muscles and drive it or pull it or whatever you're going to do. And then just to finish this off, and I'll send it right back to James, is this. I think strongest is, yeah, that, I think that's the pinnacle, obviously. But you know something? I'm almost of the belief now there's even more than strongest. I mean, I don't know. Maybe almost like a meteor shooting through the sky with the strength you can even build further than strongest. I just don't think in my... I'm going to tell you myself. I've been finding a lot of things out about myself lately. I'm talking from a mental standpoint, from a training standpoint. I was telling James some of the stuff I'm doing, the way I'm grouping things, the way I'm doing isometrics, the way I haven't even told him about... bands, bungee cords, and cold rolled steel. When I tell him this, he'll think I'm definitely gone. I think now with me, it's the attraction of this of these things that they'll tell you you can't do, or why would you do it this way? And you know what my question is to them? Why not? Take it, brother.
Well, it's when you get to that stage, it. The strongest stage, I think I know what you're talking about, where I think I don't know how many times I've said it, but world records are someone else's PR.
Yep.
You know, if you want to aim for the world record or a national record, just remember that was someone else's PR. That doesn't have to be yours.
Right.
Okay, so I'm finding at this stage, you start hitting some of the weights you dreamed about.
Yep.
So you know what you got to do now? You got to start recalibrating.
Yeah.
What is strong? What... Okay, there's what the public thinks is strong. There's
yep.
what your mom and dad, your family, your friends, the guys at the gym, the what you see on YouTube. Okay, but at some point, what's going to happen when you start hitting the upper levels of your goals? And if you don't think you're ever going to do that, what in the world are you doing?
Yeah,
you should be thinking about that. You should be gunning for the day when you hit those goals. But then, you can start recalibrating.
Yep.
You know, I just hit a 635 hack lift.
That's awesome.
And thanks. Yeah, I'd never hit 600 before. So not only did I say, screw 600, let's hit 635. I pulled 585 for two. Well, let's throw another 50 pounds in the bar.
Okay, I don't want to interrupt. All right, go ahead. But I don't want to interrupt you on this, but I want to ask you something, because I this made me think, so others are going to ask this when we go by this. Okay, so you're shooting for these records, all right? What made you think about going a little heavier? What went off, what bell sounded in you to do this, or do you just say to yourself, you threw your hands up in the air and said, you know what, I'm doing it no matter what? What was it that without even calculating it, what made you just suddenly want to do 35 pounds more or whatever you hit?
Well, I knew that the weights were feeling pretty good that day.
Okay.
And I said, all right, so I'm going to put 585 on there, and I'm just going to see what happens. And I'm a big believer, if you can pull it once, you pretty much should be able to pull it twice, because the hardest pull is the first one.
Sure.
If you do it right, your second, third, fourth pulls, you should be able to set that bar exactly where you want it for your next pull.
Yep.
And so 585 for two. I was having some stomach problems that had been keeping me awake the night before, so... I knew that 585 was an easy... If my stomach wasn't killing me, I could have done probably a 4 or 5.
Wow.
So I said, okay, well, if I just do 2, my stomach's killing me. I know I got a lot more than 600 in me. So I said, you know, the guy I was training was like, well, let's put 20 pounds on. And I go, huh, no. Let's not just tiptoe over 600. Let's beat the snot out of it. So I said, let's put 50 pounds on. So we got a couple of 25s, put them on, and I nailed 635.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, because I knew it wasn't just bravado. If you look at the video, you'll see I'm not hooting and hollering and getting all crazy.
No, I know. No.
Like, and it's so my point with that is it wasn't a bunch of adrenal wind up. It was the fact that I'm like, I just did 585 for two, and that felt like an easy, a four or a five could have gone down. All right, let's put the weight down and throw some real weight on here and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, but you got to recalibrate. You got to start, like, thinking heavy isn't heavy anymore. Heavy is yesterday. What's today? And you just got to, you got to keep talking to yourself. You got to be your own PR guy. You got to be your own best friend. You got to be the guy that's like, yeah, that's good, but what are you going to do tomorrow, buddy?
Well, yeah. Because, you know, tomorrow's coming no matter what. And, yeah, but you know what you did too? You know, there's something that I'll comment on quickly is this. What you did is you laid the foundation for success. See, self-talk, you know, they'll say, well, you got to be careful what you say. I think to a point, because you can't measure every word. But when you're doing self-talk like, you know, I am strength, I am power, I am confidence, things of that nature, or you keep rehearsing a lift. Now, for instance, I did this yesterday. My little nephew's 6 years old, and Danny, and, you know, his dad's a weightlifter, football coach, same way here. There's a ton of that in my family, and he loves doing it. Never force him, but, you know, he'll come over here, and he'll be flipping a 15-inch tire, doing farmer walks with bricks, doing step-ups with a 10-pound plate, bear-hugging it, and I taught him how to do grip, which I think is great. I have him squeeze the end of the picnic table all different ways with his fingers and hands. He loves it. So on Christmas, my brother-in-law, Danny, and myself were out in the back fooling around with some stuff like we always do. And, you know, Danny's doing stuff with us. So I was over last night to see him, everybody. And, you know, I always call him my lifting partner now, and he loves all that. He brings his little dumbbells out and all this stuff. And I said to him, because he had worked out with my brother-in-law, Dan, his dad, you know, a couple days ago, just little stuff. And I said to Danny when he was standing right in front of me, I said, you know something? And he's like, what? I said, you'll have to come over in a few weeks. And they're going to. They'll come over. We'll do a few things, obviously, and just kind of keep them interested. And I said to him, you know what the greatest thing's going to be is when I'm standing right next to you and I watch my little 13-year-old nephew deadlift 500 pounds in 7 years. I said, what do you think? He goes, I would like to do that. I said, I'm going to remind you that every time I see you, and you know what's going to happen to him if he stays in this and loves it like I hope he does, because he's got it genetically on both sides of the family. I will mark my words. In 7 years, that kid will deadlift 500 pounds because not only will he be trained by two of the best people around in the world, but he's going to have that ingrained in his skull. And that's going to happen naturally because of that. So it's going to be great in 7 years to see that kid blow 500 off the ground. So, you know, that's the way I work my head. And like you were talking about with what you did this past weekend, you know, you're walking around, you're thinking, well, if I can do 5+, why can't I do 6.25 or 6.35? Or, you know, if I was feeling a little better and I will the next time, how's 6.70 sound? So, you know, I try to tell people, remind yourself constantly, you know, what you want to do. You know, they're all saying, well, you got to have pictures and all that. Yeah, it's great. But you know what? If I'm walking around, humming around, doing stuff, if I'm saying, well, I want to hit, you know, an 800-pound dead stop Olympic squat, I'm not talking power. I'm talking right up on the top of your traps the way I do them. That's a big difference, all right, off the rods. So I'm walking around saying 800, 800, 800, 800. Keep reminding myself, visualize it when I can. Walk to the end of the garage and look at all the plates loaded on that bar. How many 45s, or am I going to use 100s on each side, or 200s? Draw it up and watch it and keep thinking about it. Internalize it. I'm going to tell you, after time, you're going to walk into that garage and you're going to put that 800 on after just stepping up to it, taking 80-pound jumps, which I would do. You're going to get under that bar, and that thing's going to sail up. And people will probably say when they listen to it, that guy is so full of shit. Well, come down. If you live in Albany or anywhere around, come on down and do some dead stop squatting with me. I don't know what we'll do that day, but I'll prove to you how you can move big weights. So go ahead, James.
Well, it's interesting. Weight jumps are funny. Like, in you know, they'll tease me at Olympic lifting meets because of some of the weight jumps I do in between attempts and say, what are you, you do powerlifting or strongman? I go, oh, yeah. And they're like, we can tell because you take big jumps.
Well, yeah, yeah.
The kid I went down with is, you know, he's gone to the American Open. He's a highly skilled lifter. And he said, you know, it's great being around you because you just don't care. You're not reckless per se, but if you want to make a bigger jump than most people would expect, you go ahead and do it. You don't care.
Yeah.
I go, well, yeah, it's me on the platform, not them. So I don't care what anyone thinks. This is my life. This is my lift. It's my time on the platform, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. If you don't like it, fine. I didn't ask you to.
Exactly.
I'm here to lift and have a good time.
Well,
I'm not letting anyone get in the way of that.
No, you're not, and that's why you're so successful with it, and that's why I'm doing that stuff with Danny, not forcing him into anything. Just giving them that little nudge, or hey, you want to go outside with me and count some plates? Yeah, out the door he comes running with me. All right, that is what. If he stays like that and really gets interested in this stuff, and I'm sure he's going to want to play football, like his father did, and all that. I'll tell you one thing, man. He's got his uncle training him with the weights and the stones. Imagine what that kid would be if I could start him out really going at, say, 9 years old and just build him up to 13 initially. Imagine the shit he'd be pulling and pushing, man.
And walking.
Yeah,
well, he's gonna have a perspective that it's no big deal to play around with these weights that his peers are gonna be freaking out about.
Yeah, is that gonna be great?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and how resistant to injury is he gonna be on the playing field?
Absolutely, dude. His dad is, I think Dan's 6'5 or 6'6. When he played semi-pro, probably in his heyday, he was like 300, 305. I think he's about 275. He's huge. I mean, you talk about a gene pool this kid's drawn from, because I know he's going to be a big kid regardless. And it's going to be a lot of fun because you know what I'm going to like more than anything is he's already getting it. You know, so is his sisters. He's getting such mental energy and strength and example that this kid is going to thrive in anything, man. I mean, he could thrive in a snake pit and still get the hell out of it. That's what I mean. Something you and I both know. Well, we talk about this offline. I'm going to tell our family here. I can't tell you how much we are going to be talking a lot of mental stuff this year. I mean, if you have children, I'm telling you right now, we can rig routines up with a sandbag and get you all involved in it as a family, or if the mom and dad wanna, or you're a single parent, whatever it is, get involved with your child or children, and the stuff we can teach mentally is like nobody out there. I don't care how many books are out there, and I think there's a lot of good ones, and there's a lot of the guys and gals on the show that have written them, and they've got a lot of experience. But, you know, you do things very unorthodox like me. I think we kind of train for the pain. And I do believe that atmosphere is everything. I do believe I don't want anything climate controlled. I like the outdoors. It's definitely harks back to the way we were. You know my feeling on stones, how I feel that prehistoric pull. When you do that, no matter who you are, maybe you've sunk it real down low inside your being, you start bringing that animal out, and I'm telling you, you will be the best you can ever be. Your children will be the best you ever can be. Your kids are going to be a lot less willing to follow the crowd. They're going to be more like my dad says, be a leader, not a follower. If you don't believe me, get a hold of me. I'll train you for free. Bring me your kid. You bring yourself, because I won't let any kids come here under 18 years old without a parent. You want to get involved with it, I'll prove it to you. Bring whoever you want, bring yourself, and I'll guarantee you in 6 months, you might not be in perfect condition, but I'm going to tell you, you'll be in good condition and getting better, and you'll have a mind, as they say, like a steel bear trap. All right, man. Cheers.
Yeah, whenever I train myself or I train anyone, just trying to get them to be mentally stronger. It's not their bodies. I mean, their bodies are already strong enough to do more than they believe they can. I believe my body's always strong enough to do more than I think I can. You know, I'm always trying to push my limits. I'm always trying to, like, all right, what do you need to do today to make you face a little fear and get over it. You know, that's why I don't care if I'm at like the meet yesterday or at the gym or wherever. I have as much respect as some 50-year-old man or woman busting through a 135 squat that scares the crap out of them as I do the guy I see over there getting his first 800-pound squat, because they're both freaked out the same amount. They both are.
Yeah.
You know, they're both, like, freaking out the same amount in my mind. And so I, watching someone bust a PR, face that fear, struggle through a lift, just like I saw a bunch of people do yesterday at the weightlifting meet, that's inspiring to me. I don't care how much weight it is.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. You can see somebody freaking out about a weight and seeing whether or not they can handle the physical stress, but the mental stress.
Yeah.
And you've seen some awfully strong people who fold like a deck of cards, of cards.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And that's why I have all the respect in the gym, at a meet. I don't care. They're the smallest lifter, the biggest lifter, the strongest lifter. What is facing that fear for the day? That's the person that inspires me, and I have respect for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Go ahead.
You gotta learn that it's, man, if you're going to get into this game of strength, you gotta realize, stop thinking about it one-dimensionally. It has very little to do with physical strength. It's going to be mental. Do you have the mental strength to lift more weight? Do you have the mental strength to be honest with yourself and say, hey, I suck at the bottom part of my squat. That's why I need to do dead stop squats out of the bottom position.
Yep.
Do you have the mental strength to do this day after day, week after week, year after year? Do you have the mental strength to realize that it's always going to be about facing fear? You know, that's what you got to face. And this is a lifelong commitment. If you come to me wanting a 6-week or 12-week program, I'm going to punch you in the face. This is a lifestyle. To me, it's a lot like martial arts.
Yeah.
You know, you're just getting your black belt. Now you're just ready to really have some fun. And it's not the end of the journey. It's the beginning of a very exciting journey. You know, and so I just wish more people would realize that.
Well, you know what it is, too? This is one thing we have to do here, and I know we've been doing it since day one. But as we keep growing and getting out there, we have got to get this straight with people that this isn't a 6-week course. This is your life. This is your health, and you can't function without either, okay? And once we can get it through to them and get them away from the things they don't need to be around, then we're going to start seeing some big success stories. And these people will be your biggest fans because, you know what? There's going to be something that touches off in them internally and mentally. And they're going to have feelings they've never had before. And they're going to be so inspired to do so many things. It'll be like they'll come and talk to you and you won't be able to catch a word because they're talking so fast. You know, you see that, you know, I mean, you see that with little kids. I see it with my nieces. The exhilaration in them is like nothing I've ever met before. It's like they do things with no problem at all. They want to do something, you know, if they've got to ask, that's one thing. Otherwise, they take their objective and go and carry it out. I watch them build things. I watch them draw. I'm just amazed at how they do things so easily with very little anxiety over anything, and they get it done, and they go to the next thing, and it is absolutely breathtaking to be able to capture that. You know, if I could take that and put it in a bottle and sell it to the majority of people in this world, my God, man, you just think of the movers, shakers, and doers we got. And, you know, then you get the flip side. Well, no, you know, not everybody wants to be like you. No one's asking you to. What I'm asking everybody to do in M&M family and beyond here is this. How about being the best you can be? How about not selling yourself short? How about not letting others dictate what you are or what you'll become? How about living strong, stronger, and strongest? How about it? I mean, I serve that right up on a plate to you. How about it, everybody? Don't shake your head yes. Don't look like, huh? Shake your head and say to yourself, I'm going to do this. I'm going to carry out a plan, whether I get a hold of James, Eric, both, or I talk to the big guy down the end of the street who I've been looking at for the last 10 years, but I've never had the guts to go up to talk to he or she. How about doing it, everybody? How about instead of these bullshit resolutions that most of them are dead right now, how about resolving in yourself, for the next 100 years of my life, I am going to be strong, stronger, and strongest. How's that, everybody? What about that? Is that something you can do? Shake your head yes now. Say yes out loud. Stand up and scream yes, because you can all do it. I love doing this stuff. This is, let me just tell you, and then I'll give it to James, and we're pretty much getting ready to shut down for the day, but I just want to say this. It's like, you know, a lot of people talk passion and this and that, and you've got to have passion and big-time enthusiasm for all this stuff, but to me, this isn't work. This is my life. This is my livelihood, and I do this stuff because I love to do it. No one's putting a gun to my head and telling me to do it every day, and I can tell you, and you know, if anybody that's listened, I've had struggle after struggle for almost 3 years now, and I've had good points, too, and I've had the mediocre in between, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is better than working for anybody. This is better than taking orders from anybody. This is better than making money for anybody. And I know you'll hear the flip side. Well, I got a family. I got to work. Okay, great. While you got time, instead of watching 4 hours of TV a night or watching porn out on the internet, how about putting a blog together? Pretty easy, pretty cheap. How about talking about something you like to do? Maybe you like to woodwork. Maybe you like to work on cars. Maybe you love to lift weights. How's that? How's that? How about you like going out and mixing it up with the iron and see who wins for that night? How about getting your feelings hurt by the iron and you got to get tougher to go back and go after her again? How about it, everybody? How about taking and making everything as human as you can, however you see human, and engage with it? Don't walk away from it. Don't run from it. If it beat the snot out of you that night, so what? Just make sure you got it in your back pocket for the next time, and you're ready to go put it to it. See, this is where we're lacking right now, but I'm going to tell you right now we're not going to be, because Eminem and everybody on here, we're going to drill it right through your head, and you're going to thank us all for it a year from now, 10 years from now, 30 years from now, because someone out there gives a damn about you, and that's the truth with all that goes on around here. We're not a fly by night. We're not a flash in the pan. And surely, everything that we talk about, we either do or we've done. So, James, I'm going to wind that up. I've said my piece, but I will leave this and take your time and then give out any info, obviously. Remember, strong, stronger, strongest. Think about that. If you're doing it and you need to renew it, go build the base all over again. So, it's all yours, sir.
Well, folks, not only is it going to be hard work, and it's going to be absolutely rewarding, because being strong never sucks, never ever sucks. You're never going to wake up and go, damn, I can pull 500 pounds. I can squat over 400 pounds. I can pick up a 300-pound stone and set it on an oil drum, 55-gallon oil drum. Nobody ever wakes up and says that. Or ladies. No one ever says, geez, no woman ever wakes up saying, geez, I can crank out a good strong set of six strict pull-ups. You know, I hate myself. That just doesn't happen. You know, so strength is never a bad thing. But here's the deal. It's going to be hard work. It's going to be hard physical work, but I'm going to tell you it's going to be really hard mental work, because you got to be vulnerable. You got to put yourself in a vulnerable position, and we hate being vulnerable. And I don't blame you. We all hate being vulnerable, whether it's a relationship or whether it's the gym, whether it's going into a gym that's scary, but you know there are monsters in there and you want to be kind of like one of the monsters, or finally deciding you're going to go to a meet and be around the other monkeys who like to lift big things and put them back down. You know, and you want to be around those knuckleheads because you're about to find your new family.
Yeah.
So, but you got to be vulnerable. You got to put yourself out there. You got to stop being on YouTube and Facebook all the time and say, no, I'm going to do something really uncomfortable, because any moron, any idiot can watch a video on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So go out there and be in a scary, oh, my God, I'm going to piss myself situation.
Yeah.
But you're going to become so much better of a person and a human being. You're going to be a better mom or dad or brother or a sister, a friend. You're going to be a better person by putting yourself through that experience. things.
Yep.
You've got to realize that if you're going to be strong, yeah, it's just like having relationships on a certain commitment level. I won't let myself go beyond this amount of vulnerability or exposure. You're going to have a limited relationship. You're not going to have the full benefit of the relationship because it's about risk, and it's the same thing with the weights. You got to put yourself out there. You got to be vulnerable. You're going to be feeling exposed. But do you not think that's what all the strongest men and women in the planet have already done? Of course they did. They had to.
Yeah.
We all have to do that. So don't think you're the only one, because I don't want to hear it. You're not. Get over it.
Yeah.
You're special, but you're not that special. Okay? So join the rest of us, and that's why you go to a meet. You find a lot of respect amongst the lifters, the men, the women, the young, the old, because we all had to work for it. We all had to put ourselves out there and be uncomfortable. But you know what? After a while, you start being okay with being uncomfortable. It stops freaking you out like it used to.
Yep.
Then you start realizing, holy crap, this being strong doesn't suck. Wow, this being around other people that are crazy and knocking each other out of the way to lift something that could break a bone or tear a muscle. Yep. They're knocking each other out of the way to go lift this thing. You're around all these people. Well, geez, you start being around a bunch of strong people and you start thinking, well, that 300-pound deadlift isn't such a big deal anymore. Next thing you know, you start thinking a 400-pound deadlift isn't a big deal anymore. We're talking growth, people. We're talking getting mentally strong. You know, Lee Haney used to say the body won't go where the mind hasn't already gone first. You
got
to start thinking about what strong is.
Yep.
And then you got to start thinking what stronger than that is. Then you got to start thinking what's strongest.
Yep.
I mean, to me, that's still a question mark. I don't know what my strongest output's going to be. And I refuse to put a limit on myself. I think you got to put a limit on yourself when you're younger in your career, because you got to kind of not freak out and look at Mount Everest when really you the first hill you come to is going to be big enough to freak you out. You don't need to be looking at Mount Everest.
Yep.
Okay, fine. But as you get going, you got to start looking at Mount Everest. And at some point, you got to start going, is that it? That's all?
That's all. That's
and
right.
It sounds cocky, but you have got to believe in yourself on that level. You have got to start thinking, Mount Everest. Well, okay, if Mount Everest is the tallest thing around, then maybe I'm going to have to do it two or three times then, because once won't be enough.
Right.
Folks, I know it sounds crazy, and you're absolutely right. It is. Anyone in their sane mind wouldn't do it. But I'm telling you what, those same people are the boringest people I've ever met.
Yep. And you know one thing, James, just to add to that, not only are the most boring people you'll ever meet, but you know what? They're what I love to call, and I know you know this word, they're all a bunch of posers, man. And the funny thing about posers is they're always full of information and telling you all the things you can't do. And then you finally realize when you don't see them now for about another year that they've long dropped out of everything. And you know the funniest thing I always think about it is this. I can remember a lot of guys, you know, growing up that, you know, now you think about it, yeah, they weren't big, but back in the day they were big. I mean, you know, usually they had the big pecs and all that. You know, you didn't know back then that you really need to have legs and you shouldn't be walking around on your arms, basically, okay? But your hands. But here's the greatest thing of all. Then you see them, and you've been doing it forever, and you're still very, very good and strong. And you look at them, and how many people have you met? They look like they never touched a weight in their life. And these were all the big mouths trying to tell you what to do or making fun of you or picking on you, man. And now you could pick them up by the Adam's apple and fling them 100 feet. You know what I'm saying? That's the funniest thing of all. And we still got plenty of that out there. And I want to get right back to you because I didn't mean to take this, but I want to tell everybody out there, be very careful who you associate with and who you're listening to. And the ones that are telling you, you're no damn good or you'll never get there, I'm going to tell you right now, as a guy that's been through all that crap, turn around and get the hell out of Dodge and never associate with them again. That's all I got to say, man. Go ahead.
Well, I think Louis Simmons said, if you run with a lame, you're going to get a limp.
Yeah. Yep.
It's that simple. Just be around people that want you to be better. And if you can't be around people that want you to be better, then be by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, have a conversation in the mirror if you got it. Just tell them you're a bodybuilder or something. I don't know, but
yeah.
You gotta be your best friend. You gotta be the guy that picks you up. I'm gonna say this, and I've said this before, and this actually happened. And this might take a minute, Eric. So
that's all right. Take your time, brother.
So I hadn't signed up for this meet, and this meet this weekend. and because I've been having some problems with my shoulder.
Yep.
And then a couple of days before the meet, I was starting to slip on some ice, and to keep myself from falling, I jammed my leg or my foot forcefully back into the ice to cause a breaking effect. And man, it just jacked up my knee, this old injury I've got from a 930 yoke.
Yep.
And it flared it right up, and I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I said, well, whatever, I might throw away the money anyways, but I'm just going to sign up for this meet that's tomorrow. And I didn't barely get any sleep Friday night because the knee was just killing me. Every time I moved, it'd wake me up. And I'm not a big pill popper. If I don't have to take the aspirin, I won't. I believe in pain. I believe in if the fire alarm's going off, you don't get up, take the battery out so the fire alarm stops, and then tell everyone, okay, nope, it's good, go back to bed, fire alarm's off.
Yeah.
That's not what you do. So that pain's telling you you're doing something wrong. So unless I'm really up against it, I try not to take aspirin if I can avoid it. So I go to the meet. I'm sitting in the car for 3 hours. I get to the meet. My knee's killing me. And my shoulders, I can't tell if my shoulder hurts or not because I'm so distracted by my knee. So I start, during the first lifting session, I start stretching. Stretching this, stretching that, stretching the groin, quads, everything. Upper body, shoulders, wrist, whatever I can stretch. And I'm working up a sweat, and I'm stretching. I stretch through the whole first session. And next thing I realize, geez, that knee doesn't feel so bad anymore.
Well, yep.
Okay, that's kind of cool. I get into my warm-ups. Wow, those snatches are going up pretty good. I'm doing a full squat snatch. Geez, you know, it's not too bad. Well, geez, I go out and I wind up PRing by 5 kilograms, 11 pounds on my snatches, and I got 231 pounds. And the last time I had PR'd on a snatch in a meet, I wasn't even 40 years old yet. And here I am, 45 years old, PRing on my snatches.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I go into the clean and jerks, and I wound up PRing by 10 kilograms, 22 pounds more than I did back in my 30s. So every time that I've almost not done a meet or done a workout, it has become one of the best experiences I've ever had.
Yep.
So what are you going to do? You can't. I didn't sit there and say, I'm going to have the best meet of my life. I just said, well, I'm going to go see if I can do it. So
yep.
I took the pressure off.
Yep.
You know, so just go. And no one would have blamed me. They said, well, you know, James, you did flare up that old injury. You got jacked on the ice. And, you know, that shoulder's been bothering you. You know, it's probably smart. You're 45. You probably shouldn't push it. Eric, I wound up qualifying for the World Masters Weightlifting Championships in New Zealand.
That is awesome, man. Congrats. Seriously.
Thank you.
But see, you know what? Well, you never know what you're...
I would have missed out on that.
Yeah.
I would have missed out on that. I would have missed out on the PRs,
yep.
The qualification. I would have missed out on being one of the lifters to lift, to be the first to lift on clock-off equipment in a sanctioned meet in the United States. I would have missed out on so much by good excuses.
Yeah.
Those are perfectly legit reasons why I should not have competed yesterday. So you really got to think about it and go... Okay, well, okay, fine. I'm not going to go try to tear up the world, but okay, maybe I'll go to the gym today and just see what I can do.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, folks, you've got to take advantage of your opportunities. Whether they're good excuses or not, I still would have had a whole ass full of excuses.
Yeah.
Instead of a qualification to go to the World Championships and the Masters.
Well, you know, think about that, too. You know, that's one thing I think we're all pros at. Is we're really good at making excuses and talking ourselves out of things. And just think about all of us through the years, how many opportunities we missed out on for greatness. And you didn't succumb to that, and now look what happened. And, I mean, that's the ultimate lesson because you'd be very – you know, we haven't tapped into anything, in my opinion, humanly. And I think someday maybe we will, but I doubt it's going to happen in your lifetime or my lifetime. Do I hope it does? I do. You know, when you have those days where you can basically walk on water and everybody's had them, and the ones who haven't, I got to tell you, keep doing it, because when everything connects and you move iron, like it's like, I don't know, I better recheck this bar because I don't think it's loaded properly, you know, you hit upon something. And then you'll have the days that will literally rip your heart right out, where I've talked about them with you, right? And I've talked about them with you and with other people on the show where I'd say I'm never doing it again. And I wouldn't even get 50 feet near my front door, and I'm already thinking about 2-3 days from now because it's like anything. It's ingrained in you, and there's no way, unless a major catastrophe happened, that you wouldn't do it. And I'm sure all of us, the way we are, would find something to do. It wouldn't matter. So the thing about this whole physical and mental thing and this spiritual thing we do, there is nothing out there like this, and I don't call this a sport. I don't know what I, you know, we hear the thing physical culture, physical strength. Yeah. Once again, it's like paleo, way too overused in my opinion. I don't even know if I put a name on any of this anymore. I can just tell you this. I like using return to strength, okay? And you can put a big thing under that umbrella. But I've played a lot of organized sports. It's pretty good at some, too. But as I've said many, many times, once I touched the weights, it was all over. There was something that triggered me that went off in me, and I never turned back. I never looked back. And my brothers got all into it because of me doing it, and they obviously had the same composition when they hit it. It's the most intriguing thing you can ever get into. And if you learn it, and you get good at it, and you have success with it, I'm telling you right now, you will thank us if we got that in you to the day you leave the earth, because there's something... It's just, there's something very big about it around you, within you. It's just, it touches things in you that I've never had. Sports, I'll tell you what, lifting weights is just like love with your first girlfriend. And anybody that says I'm full of shit, you don't know what you're talking about. The feelings, the way you equate your love for something, the way you'll do things unselfishly, the way you'll suffer the pain. And obviously, the first girlfriend's gone for me, but the weights are still here. As my buddy Richie said, war with the weights and love with the weights. And I like them both. In fact, I love them both. The weights will outlive me. They'll outlive any woman I'm with. And they'll outlive anybody I'm friends, brothers, family, acquaintances, guy down the street, girl up the block, whatever you want to lay on top of it. They will outlive it all. And you know what? They should. And I hope when I'm gone, whoever it's all going to be left to takes good care of it. Because this stuff here is just like blood to me. It is family. I would protect that stuff just like I'd protect Danny, my nephew. And I know they'll say, well, it's it. No, it's all life out there. That stuff breathes life, man. It breathes life into my lungs and my veins, and I breathe life into it. We don't live without one another. We hurt each other sometimes, but we're always shake hands at the very end. Even if I'm pissed and I'm screaming at the garage door all the way down the driveway, I still love it, and I'll be back for another turn. So, James, I've quacked enough here, but that's coming from the heart. As I say, anybody out there that would like to get back into it or is thinking about doing it, I'll give you the biggest push you'll ever get. I would tell you resoundingly, go after it. And go after it with all your might, all your heart, all your love. And I'm telling you, you will be the greatest individual, male or female, little child, whatever it is you get into, nobody will stop you. You will be the best of the best, and you'll have anything you want in the world. All you got to do now is just go and put your hands on a nice, cold, rolled steel piece of steel. It's all yours. Finish it off, brother.
It's it is a relationship, and it's like any relationship you have in life. It's gonna hurt, but it's gonna help you grow. I mean, you can't be in any relationship without thinking there's going to be some kind of growth. There's going to be some kind of discomfort. There is. I don't care what relationship you're in. And the weights are just doing their job.
Yep.
I love the story of Bob Peoples. He's the guy that discovered Paul Anderson. He's from Tennessee.
Sure.
And he was, what was he deadlifting? Seven and a quarter?
Yep.
735, something like that.
At 180 pounds of body weight.
Something like that, 185, yeah. Something. Yeah. And he no belt, no suit, no straps, nothing. Just
overhand grip.
Yeah, just a ridiculous animal. And every once in a while, he'd get frustrated, mad, lose his temper, and he would take the gem that he carved out of stone and sat below his house, and his house sat on rock. And he went down and chiseled out his entire gym. So when you see pictures of the walls of his gym, it's scalloped.
Yep.
Because he had a hammer and a chisel, and he chiseled out. You want to talk commitment? This guy had to become a master stone worker before he could have the gym. And then he would rip out his whole gym, bring it up the stairs, throw it down the hill, and throw it, you know, let it roll into the creek. Because he was so mad. And then a couple days later, he'd cool off. And guess what? He'd be right back down to that creek, throwing it right back in his gym. And I love that story because, man, we have been there. You know? And you just, okay, fine, man, have your hissy fit. But you know you can't let it go. I mean, it'd be easier for me to walk out of my right arm.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
I'm telling you now, you will never let it go. I'm telling you, and you know, people say to me about the business, you know, haven't you had enough? You know, you're a success, but you're not making the money you want, all that. And I look at him and I say, you don't understand. I said, if I give this up, number one, I'll never be able to live with myself. But number two, it would be to me giving away one of my kids. And that would never happen, man. I would kill for any of them, and I would kill for the business, and I'll kill for my weightlifting. When you're that dedicated to something, ain't nobody going to take your ass out. And there isn't going to be anybody you're ever with, if they're of the same ilk, you will have an alliance with, whether it's a girlfriend, a wife, the two of you will be inseparable. And I know people say, oh, no, nothing's like that. You know what? When you're like that, it's like that. And that's why when you see these people, how did you last 65 years together? I guarantee you they had it. And when they had problems, they didn't cut and run like all the friggin', I'm not going to say the word, do now. You know, when I think about Jimmy, my brother, I can't imagine the stress my parents were under all the time. You know, five kids. You got a son that basically they know is not going to live a long life. And eventually he's so incapacitated, he's got to be in a wheelchair. I can't imagine what that must have been like for him. But I've said this before, and I'll keep saying it because of the dedication of everything here to him. I've never seen a kid that got dealt the biggest hand of whatever you'd want to call it and lived it and smiled it and was happy every day. I got no reason to complain. And that's why I try to tell people, man, here's somebody that, in most people's eyes, had very little. He had more than I'll ever have. And he had one thing I'll never have, not to his degree, and that's a belief. And the people that stood around him, that's why I talk about loyalty on the show. The loyalty around him, the kids in the neighborhood all over my big house, the love my parents gave everybody. It was like something I've never seen before. I was blessed to grow up like that. And I've taken lessons from Jimmy every day. Every day. You know, I always go down to the cemetery on my father's anniversary, which was December 15th of this past year. I always go down on their birthdays. And I'm probably the only one in the family that really goes to the cemetery. My mom does once in a while, but my sister, they don't want to deal with it like that. I deal with it. And I like going down there because, believe it or not, I find a lot of peace. And I love to talk to my father. And my brother, and my grandmother, and everybody else, all the people I was very close to for years. Even though John Ridge isn't there, I'll sit there and talk to John Ridge or Frank Klein. They're there. There's spirits around me. I leave there, I feel good. I feel ready to take on anything. And that's why the strength of these different people, when we talk strong, stronger, and strongest, it's all part of the whole thing. But I want to draw one thing, and I know we've gone over time here because we keep going back and forth with another idea. But, you know, take examples. What I want to do once we can get up on our feet real good, I'm going to start going to a major hospital here. I want to work with kids that are terminal with cancer. I want to go over there and see those kids and be with them and interact with them and be part of their lives, and I want to be part of my life because I understand that stuff. Jimmy had muscular dystrophy, a little bit different, but Jimmy had a death sentence too. But yet every day he rose up and he got up and went to school and went with us everywhere and ate with us and did everything any kid that was physical could do. The only thing a poor guy couldn't do, he couldn't move his legs. couldn't get up out of a wheelchair. But yet I watched someone administer their life with such just grace about everything, such a mature young boy. And he lost out in the end. But the lessons that he taught me and my brothers and my mother and father and the people around him, if you really think about it, was the best life lesson teacher I've ever had. So, you know, if anything was ever dedicated today, because I got off on this tangent with Jimmy, you know, Jimmy is the show today to me right now. It's like we went over everything, but when we want to draw strength from those around you too. So, James, end it up with anything you want, and we'll sign off, and we'll get ready for February, please.
So, relatively recently, I had thanked the Lord for my ability to do what I do, and someone had commented back saying, well, you're the one doing the work. And I didn't want to start anything online or what have you, or argue about it. And yeah, I'm doing the work. I'm the one lifting the weight. But I am blessed. I am blessed to do things that other people never even got a chance to decide whether or not they were going to go and do it. You know, I am very thankful. And I think it's important to remember that many of us are able to do things that many people never would even dream of having a chance to do. And I think it's too bad, and I think it's sad that a lot of us have potential to be the best we can be, but instead we spend time watching a bunch of crap online or watching a bunch of crap on TV. Yeah, I'm online for hours a day. Some of it's pleasure, some of it's work, a lot of it's work actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But do yourself a favor. I don't care what you believe in, but you're blessed. Something. Whoever you want to believe in, you are blessed to be able to do anything that can bring you fulfillment, joy, happiness. For me, it's this lifting thing. It's this being strong as I can be, as I believe I can be, and even beyond what I believe I can be right now. You got to just keep recalibrating what you can believe, how much you can believe you can do. But you are blessed. And I think, you know, there's people like Jimmy. There's all kinds of people that don't even get a chance. And I feel like you're almost slapping them in the face by not taking advantage of the things you can do with your life. Am I saying you're going to be a lifter? No. But I'm saying, man, if you can do stuff that you know a lot of people can't do, I don't know, find something to be passionate about, man. Find something to be awesome at. Awesome for you, not awesome for anyone else. But something that fulfills you, that makes you happy. Because there's so many people that don't even get a choice. Jimmy never had a choice.
Nope.
Jimmy didn't say, oh, hey, you know, I'd like to be confined to a wheelchair. I think that'd be the coolest, slickest thing in the world.
Exactly.
No. I'm sure he'd like to be running around doing stuff with the other kids. He made the best of it. He was still happy.
Yep.
It affected Eric in a great way because Eric's learned to be happy. Eric's learned to be thankful and knows that he's blessed to do what he does.
Yep.
And he's making the most of this, of that situation of his. You know, if not for him, for Jimmy.
Yeah.
So folks, you know, yeah, being strong. Be strong for you. Be strong and fulfill your potential as a strong human being. And if it's through weights like what Eric and I are doing, fine. If it's through something else, fine.
Yep.
But to be a strong human being, you've got to push yourself. You've got to be uncomfortable. You've got to take advantage of the gifts you've been given. It's that simple. And I am done. Whatever else you want to finish up with, Eric?
I'm good, man. We hit a big note here. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. You know, go out there, like I said, go out and check out /category/podcast. Go out and look at all the shows we did with James. We'll have this show up. It'll probably be up tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, depending on what happens with the dentist tomorrow with me. I might have to get a root canal, so we got to find out at 9 a.m. tomorrow. But it'll be up regardless. I don't care if I've got it or I don't get it. Hopefully they're not going to shoot me up with Novocaine, because when they do that, I want to tear their throat right out of them. But that's a whole nother show. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us the 5-star review. We appreciate that. We've got that from everybody. You know, we're on directories all over the place. Don't forget, if you've got the capability to get podcasting in your new car, which they all do, and they make aftermarket, you can find us on AHA directory. That's AHA. bring some motivation into your car. I know a lot of people do it with their phones and things like that. Whatever it is, just keep spreading the word. Don't forget, we're out on Patreon. Donate anything you'd like to the show if you choose. We'd appreciate that. As you can tell, you can hear the quality that James and I have done here alone today. There's nobody doing stuff out there like that. I know there's all these people I'm told about. I wish them all well, but we don't care about them. We as I always say, we cut and clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's, period. Also, too, go out to Motivation and Muscle, obviously, and check out everything there. You can contact me if you like James and I do a particular show at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. That's a real winner right there to get everything, obviously. Also, too, I'll leave you with these things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them five words of inspiration. They can change your life forever. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, press it, pull it, squat it, take stones and turn them into dust, do it up. As the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. This next weekend, we're going to start filling that beast up and wait to see what we're going to be pulling off, too. It's going to be pretty damn cool. I think we're going to start nailing the cement Hoosa Fells, too. The other one I've got to grind down a little more because it cuts right through you. And cuts are great, but they're no good if you want to be a trainer. Also, too, let's see. No one will ever
maybe
clip
you
our
want to call it the ex-wife.
Well, I'll tell you what. No one's going to ever clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of the speakers. And I'll leave you with a few more things before we sign off is this. As Frank Klein, my greatest professor in college, said, repetition, repetition, repetition. As my dad said, be a leader, not a follower. And as John Ridge said, who was my chiropractor, and he'd walk everybody to the door, he'd say two words, keep smiling, I dare you say that, and not smile. And all three men, I'm sure, are very proud of everything that I'm doing, and they're all part of it because they were such a big influence on my life. Also, too, I'm not going to get into that. I'll tell you what, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And most of all, tell 100 of your friends or more, because we're not going to knock on your door. We're going to put our foot right through it. Join the revolution. Join the family. I promise you, the next 28 years of your life are going to be the best ever. And as Les Brown says, you all have greatness, but we'll go one step, two step further. We keep an eye on you. We watch your back. And we also believe in you fully, and we will support you forever if that's what you'd like. Also, I think that's pretty much it. James, thanks for being on the show. Great to have you back, brother. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It was a fun time, as always.
It is, man. These shows kick. So, we'll have James on, like I said, next week. It's going to be kind of a short week. I'm waiting to verify a couple people, but as I said, you know what we're up to. But we're getting more and more of the crew back, and that's what we want to do. So for Eric Fiorello and James Fuller, thanks for listening. We'll have James on in February, maybe earlier. It all depends what's going on. But, you know, this show will be up tomorrow at some point, and we just deliver. So have a great week, everybody, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.